This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Net neutrality voted out. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, December 15. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
The Federal Communications Commission has repealed so-called net neutrality rules, giving greater power to internet service providers. We'll explain what that means.
A firefighter from San Diego has died battling the historic Thomas Fire in the Ventura and Santa Barbara County area.
Momentum for tax reform may have slowed as a couple of Republican senators express concern over the child tax credit.
And how to find a job when unemployment rates are as low as they are now.
The job search process is a sales cycle. So everyone has to summon their inner salesperson and try to differentiate themselves versus the next person. So you can either see yourself as a Ferrari or you can see yourself as a Corolla. How you pitch yourself is completely and entirely up to you.
Tips from Sharik Ghani, the job search guy, on how to sell yourself during a job search. He's here in about 20 minutes. Authorities in California say a firefighter died during the response to the Thomas Fire. 32-year-old Corey Iverson was an engineer with Cal Fire's San Diego unit. He died yesterday morning. He was a husband and father to a 2-year-old daughter with a second daughter on the way in the spring. It happened as the Thomas Fire burned northwest of Los Angeles for an 11th day. The fire roaring through Ventura and Santa Barbara counties had burned across nearly 380 square miles by yesterday. Cal Fire Chief Mark Brown says it's been 30% contained.
We're very concerned about where that fire is going, and getting into terrain is going to be difficult for us.
Thomas Fire has been by far the largest of the recent blazes, ravaging parts of Southern California. Fires that have destroyed more than 1,000 buildings, most of them single-family homes, and are threatening thousands of others. Meanwhile, red flag warnings of heightened fire risk remain in effect through this morning. It's likely they will be extended or reissued. The Federal Communications Commission is rolling back rules about how internet service providers like Verizon or AT&T treat traffic on their networks. The so-called net neutrality rules, created in 2015, require broadband providers to treat all traffic equally without blocking or slowing content or providing fast lanes for favored sites and services. Republicans say the shift encourages further broadband investment and helps consumers with more choices and lower prices. FCC Chairman Ajit Pai.
To me, at least, by taking these heavy-handed rules off the table, by establishing, once again, the bipartisan light-touch approach that we had for almost 20 years, we're going to see a lot more competition.
Internet service providers such as Comcast could do things like offer new packages with different prices, perhaps delivering some content but not others. One type of service that could proliferate now is zero rating deals, where specific websites or services are exempted from a mobile carrier's data caps. Companies like Google, Netflix, and Amazon worry they'll have to pay unfair fees to service providers with big influence. Several Republican senators are expressing last-minute doubts about the tax overhaul plan in Congress. More details are expected to be released today on the $1.4 trillion compromise. Final votes are planned for next week. Florida Senator Marco Rubio said he would vote against the bill if the final measure does not further expand child tax credits for low-income households.
As it's currently structured, it's only $1,100, which means a lot of people making $35,000, $40,000, $25,000 working are not going to be able to utilize as much of the credit as they need.
Mike Lee of Utah, who has also wanted a more generous child tax credit, is also undecided on the tax bill in its current form. Senate Republicans passed their tax bill 51-49 earlier this month, leaving them little margin on the final version. Others say they're undecided, like Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, Susan Collins of Maine, and Arizona's Jeff Flake. Also, Senators Thad Cochran of Mississippi and John McCain of Arizona missed votes this week over health issues. Their support is vital. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday. Doug Jones' victory over scandal-plagued Republican Roy Moore in Alabama's Senate special election further threatens President Trump's legislative agenda, as well as the GOP's already tenuous grip on the upper chamber. Once Senator-elect Jones is seated early next year, Republicans will hold just a 51-49 majority. And while Democrats' path is narrow, their upset victory in Alabama gives them a shot at gaining control in 2018. But Republicans who opposed Mr. Moore have characterized the loss as a longer-term gain for the party. More now from James Arkin, congressional reporter at Real Clear Politics. James, what do we have?
First, let me lay out the case for Democrats, because it's a little bit clearer why it's a victory for them. Very obviously, not very many people would have expected Democrats to be able to win a Senate seat in Alabama. And so just to hold that Senate seat is a huge boost for Democrats. But more importantly, they're facing a very difficult Senate map next year. Republicans are only defending 8 Senate seats. Democrats are defending 25. 10 of those Democrats are defending are in states that Donald Trump won last year. And it's a 52-48 Republican Senate majority right now. So Democrats would need to hold all of their seats and flip 3 seats to their side to win a Senate majority. A very difficult task.
Yeah.
Now, with Alabama, they only need to flip 2. And they have races in Arizona and Nevada that they are very confident about. So basically, shifting into a 51-49 majority with Jones gives Democrats a chance to really talk about the possibility, even the very difficult possibility, of winning the Senate majority. So it's a very clear case for them.
All right. And then on the Republican side, why could this be seen as a victory for them despite Roy Moore's loss?
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, you would not expect this sort of response. But Republicans yesterday on Capitol Hill were, for the most part, pretty excited or pretty happy about Roy Moore's loss in Alabama. And it's essentially because it was a huge problem for the party. He was a very toxic candidate for a lot of Republican lawmakers even before the allegations of sexual misconduct appeared in the Washington Post. He was an even more toxic candidate afterwards. But President Trump's endorsement of him caused real problems for Republicans, and they were worried that they were going to face, decisions about an ethics committee investigation into him that could drag deep into 2018. They were going to face the decision of whether or not to expel him. Every single Republican candidate on the ballot next year was going to be asked questions about Roy Moore, was going to be tied to him consistently in ads by Democrats. It was just going to be a real explosive problem for them in midterms next year. And it's still going to be slightly problematic, but they're going to avoid a lot of that because he lost that race. So paradoxically, a lot of Republicans pretty happy that the Democrat won.
That's interesting. We're speaking with James Arkin, congressional reporter at Real Clear Politics. He's written a piece entitled "To Both Parties, Roy Moore's Loss is a Potential Win for 2018. What does it say, too, I guess, ahead of the midterms next year about voter enthusiasm from Alabama? When really, and others have said this, a Democrat, Doug Jones, defeated a guy accused of all kinds of sexual misconduct by, what, a percentage point and a half?
Right, absolutely. It's, going into the race, a lot of strategists that I talked to said, we're not going to really be able to take away a lot of lessons because it's such a bizarre election with, the allegations against Roy Moore, but in a very deep red state that Donald Trump won overwhelmingly. But what we saw on Tuesday was a pattern that fit what we've seen in elections earlier this year. We saw surging Democratic turnout in suburban areas among white women, among African-American voters, who just absolutely surged in turnout. That was really, the decisive constituency for Doug Jones was African-American voters, particularly African-American women, and suburban voters and young voters. And now it took a huge groundswell of turnout and, pretty depressed Republican turnout, a lot of people not showing up for Roy Moore, for Jones to be able to win this. But that really mirrors what we saw in Virginia earlier this year, what we saw in New Jersey, and what Democrats are hoping to see in 2018 to be able to win back the House and potentially compete for the Senate, which is depressed Republican turnout and surging Democratic turnout in the suburbs and among African-American and young voters. And so there actually is a little bit of a lesson here that even in a deep red state like Alabama, if you get those constituencies to turn out at high levels, Democrats have a real shot.
Mm. Does Doug Jones immediately become a vulnerable candidate when this term expires because Alabama is so Republican?
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be able to serve out the rest of what originally was Jeff Sessions' Senate term until the 2020 election. I think it's going to be an extremely difficult path for him to win re-election in 2020 again.
Thanks, James. James Arkin, congressional reporter at Real Clear Politics. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Florida Republican Marco Rubio's potential defection over a tax credit for low-income parents has put a speed bump into GOP leaders' drive to push their big tax package through the Senate. The Florida senator says he'll vote against the $1.5 trillion bill unless House and Senate negotiators expand the tax credit that low-income Americans can claim for their children.
We'll see how it plays out. I want to support tax reform. It's important for the country, but I think this needs to be part of it.
Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah is also undecided about how to vote pending the outcome of the child tax credit debate. There are also two senior lawmakers absent. John McCain and Thad Cochran both missed every Senate vote this week for health reasons. For some in Washington, the fight in support of net neutrality continues despite yesterday's move by the FCC to do away with it. FCC Chairman Ajit Pai says his commission did the right thing.
Now, I'm confident that this bipartisan consensus to which we are returning is going to win the day, both in the court of public opinion and hopefully in Congress as well.
But a battle will likely be waged both in Congress and in the courts. Pennsylvania Congressman Mike Doyle says he will introduce legislation to overturn the FCC's action. Public interest groups and several state attorneys general say they will take the matter to court. The Ohio man accused of ramming a car into a crowd of people protesting a white nationalist rally this summer in Charlottesville has had his most serious charge upgraded to first-degree murder. James Fields appeared in court yesterday for a preliminary hearing where prosecutors announced they had filed a motion seeking the amended charge. Well, those live nativity scenes only work if the participants cooperate. Stormy the cow did not. Stormy began her day yesterday at a church in Philadelphia, but by midday she was out of a job after she tried to escape the nativity scene twice. The first time, Stormy walked off and found her way to Interstate 95, where police boxed her in with cruisers, lassoed her, and got her back to the church. 4 hours later, she escaped again and headed to a nearby parking garage. After that, Stormy was sent back to a 4-H farm and replaced by Ginger.
The people she's working with are just probably boring. Cow's looking for some stimulation.
They didn't talk to her enough.
Yeah, or, you know, she doesn't like the commercialization of Christmas, whatever. Cow protest. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The job market is fairly strong these days with the unemployment rate for November at 4.1%. How do you find a job in this type of environment? We're joined now by Sharik Ghani, known as the Job Search Guy. He's based in the Houston area. Sharik, does the strategy change nowadays?
No, your strategy should never change. The strategy should be based upon a solid sales strategy because every candidate is nothing more than a product and a hiring manager is a customer. And the job search process is a sales cycle. So everyone has to summon their inner salesperson and try to differentiate themselves versus the next person. So you can either see yourself as a Ferrari or you can see yourself as a Corolla. How you pitch yourself is completely and entirely up to you.
What's the job scene like right now in terms of who might be in charge or in the driver's seat?
Well, right now, medical and technology is in the driver's seat, and they'll continue to be in the driver's seat for the next few years. And the nice thing about medical and technology being boom is that you don't have to have a PhD or have gone to medical school to be able to get a well-paying and secure job. In fact, you don't even need a degree to have a well-paying and secure job in both the medical and technology fields.
What do you say is the statistic for the percentage of people who get a job because of somebody in their network, say, or somebody they know?
55% of positions are filled based upon networking. So that means a hiring manager is more likely to pick someone they know or someone who knows someone rather than just a complete stranger. And that's because when you hire someone that you know, they're more likely to be successful in the position, they're more likely to stay loyal, and they're more likely to work harder and harder and harder and increase the company's bottom line. So the result out of that is that everyone needs to go to industry conferences, networking mixers, get out there on LinkedIn, put your name out, and ask for personal referrals. Don't expect someone to refer you. You have to ask for it.
We're speaking with the job search guy, Sharik Ghani. We're talking about getting a job when the unemployment rate is this low. What about online postings? Are they, I mean, can you get those jobs? I've heard some people say they're just kind of a black hole.
The best way to find these positions is by identifying 100 companies that you want to work for, going to their websites, seeing what positions are available, applying, and following up with the phone call.
Thanks, Sharik. That is Sharik Ghani, known as the job search guy. By the way, the Hispanic unemployment rate dropped to 4.7%, the lowest in history. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, @GordonDeal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The holidays are here. Why not wow friends and family with a new type of gift, a package from Omaha Steaks. My wife loves the filet mignons. I'm a fan of the sausages. My kids prefer the burgers. Those meats are just part of what's in the family gift pack. To get it, visit omahasteaks.com and enter my code Gordon in the search bar for 75% off. Here's what you get in the family gift pack for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, and an Omaha Steaks seasoning packet. Plus, for free right now, 4 additional kielbasa sausages. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. The gift is guaranteed to be a hit. Again, omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter @ThisMorningShow, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, December 15. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Republican senators waver on their support for tax reform. FCC repeals net neutrality rules. A firefighter dies battling Southern California wildfires. Holiday air travel kicks up a notch today. Last day for Obamacare enrollment. Star Wars The Last Jedi hits theaters. Colts tight end Brandon Williams diagnosed with a concussion. It was a scary moment in last night's game in which he was carted off the field during a loss to the Broncos. And how our love of vanilla causes worldwide havoc in places like Madagascar. That story in about 20 minutes. The final tax cut bill Congress has come up with reportedly cuts the top rate all the way to 37%, lower than either the House or Senate proposed in its initial legislation. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says, imagine such bargaining over the price of a house, with the seller asking $300,000 and the buyer offering $275,000, and both parties in the end agree on a final price of $250,000. He says it doesn't make sense. Rick, the drop to 37% surprised me.
Yeah, that was surprising. When the House passed its bill, its tax cut legislation in November, it left the top rate at 39.6%. The Senate passed a bill a few weeks later that lowered it to 38.5%. So when they try to work out their differences, you might think they'd meet in the middle, which would be around 39%. But lo and behold, when they say, well, we've got a final outline of a tax bill, it drops all the way down to 37%. Mm. So I think some wealthy people were picking up the phone and saying, hey, I gave money to your campaign, and I'm doing the numbers here, and it looks like my taxes might actually go up. You can't do that to me. So they said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll just lower the top tax rate. How's that sound? And I think, the wealthy people who are able to pull the strings got what they wanted.
Surely, Rick, those folks who are middle class and lower income got a piece of this pie also.
You know, it's really going to take this thing actually going into effect and people actually being able to calculate their taxes based on all the new provisions for anybody to really know, because there are a lot of moving parts here. So the big one that worries a lot of people is that there's going to be a sharp reduction in the amount of state and local taxes you can deduct if you choose that deduction. So the new limit is going to be $10,000 in total. And there are some people who are for whom that's really going to be a problem, because there are people in higher tax states. You know, it tends to be, you know, the coastal states such as New York and California. But it's also, they're also like, you know, about 1/4 of all filers in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania actually claim this deduction. And high, you know, wealthier people can claim up to, you know, $50,000 or more in a deduction, because that's how much they pay yeah. in state and local income taxes and also in property taxes when you mix it all up. And so they're not going to be, they're only going to be able to deduct $10,000 now. So I think that, you know, that Congress has been hearing from a lot of people saying, wait a minute, this isn't a tax cut for me. What's going on here? And so I think they turned around and said, well, tell you what, that's why we're going to lower this upper rate. So your taxable income at what could end up higher, but the rate at which you're taxed on that income will end up lower. And that's just an example of all the moving parts here. So you lose a little bit over here, you gain a little bit over here.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman. His piece is called The Rich Win Big in the Final GOP Tax Cut Bill. The president, though, says there are some families who will actually have their taxes cut in half, I believe was the example he used. For
yeah,
whom?
He held a White House event recently. He gave a speech that this is how great this is going to be for, you know, for all the middle-class families in America. And, you know, you can certainly pick families. I mean, it depends a lot on your circumstances. If you just take a given family that has $50,000 in income, say, well, how you're going to, your tax bill is going to change depends on how many kids you live, you have. Under the current system, you can deduct each child as an exemption, which you're not going to be able to do in the future. Depends on what state you live in and how much you pay in state and local income taxes. Other types of, you know, conditions like that. So it's very easy to cherry pick five families who will end up better off. It's also very easy to cherry pick five families that will end up worse off. Mm. I think there are two things politically that are important here. First of all, I think most middle-income Americans need to feel like they are getting a real benefit from this, because if they don't, then they will just go to the polls and vote in 2018 and 2020 feeling like this was nothing but a giveaway to the wealthy, and there was really not much in it for the middle class. So you have to make most people feel a little bit better off, and you also have to not hurt very many people, because you know the people who are going to be harmed by something like this, we know that will, assuming there are such people, that will dominate the news coverage. You'll see these stories about somebody. Inevitably, you know, these horror stories about somebody who couldn't get medical coverage because of an increase in their taxes or some change that came out of this bill and so forth. Whether that's representative or not won't matter that much, because it'll sort of become the dominant narrative.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman, who's based in New York. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. The retailers that will succeed in drawing consumers to their physical locations for holiday shopping this year are the ones that have responded to Amazon's threat by developing their own e-commerce capabilities. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Elizabeth Winkler. Elizabeth, set this up.
Well, you know, e-commerce sales keep rising. It was nearly $7 billion spent online by the end of Cyber Monday this year, 17% year-on-year jump from last year. So it's obviously a very tough market for traditional brick-and-mortar stores. But as one of the retail analysts I spoke with told me inexplicably, Black Friday, people still like going to stores. They still like camping out. They still like the sort of jostling for, you know, discounts. And I think over the holiday season, it's a bit of a tradition, you know, going out to the stores, the music, the decorations. So stores still matter, and there are a number of things that can be done to keep consumers coming back to physical locations. And Walmart and Best Buy are two of the standouts in that category that have done a really good job of making sure consumers keep coming back.
That's interesting, because you had one analyst who said basically the fourth quarter belongs to Amazon, right? That's Amazon quarter. So what does a Best Buy or a Walmart do to keep those customers coming in? Or is it a blending of the online and the physical store that they do well?
It is. They've really taken an omni-channel approach. And by that, I mean that they've invested a lot in their own e-commerce capabilities to rival Amazon. So, you know, bringing down prices online, making sure consumers can easily order online so that they're not going to Amazon. But they've also invested a lot in their stores, too. So, you know, investments in employees and customer service. Best Buy has their store within a store sections and that kind of thing. So one of the biggest mistakes retailers have been making is to not invest in stores and think it's all about e-commerce now. But, you know, if over the holidays shoppers go in and they have a terrible experience, in a department store, they're not going to come back. So it's really about investing in both. And when consumers like, when they have a good experience with, you know, online shopping or a Best Buy or a Walmart, it actually helps the brand overall. So it's not a loss for the physical locations, because it means they're happy with the brand and they might also visit the store then to pick something they bought online or come and look at another product.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Elizabeth Winkler. She writes for the Heard on the Street commentary section. Her piece is called How Retailers Can Fight Back at Christmas. So when we talk about blending a good experience, say, in the physical store and online, the online part of it, does that mean it has to be a good mobile experience too?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a huge increase in mobile purchases, and that's part of what's driving the jump in e-commerce sales. I think like a record, 56% of e-commerce is now happening through mobile purchases.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Wall Street Journal reporter Elizabeth Winkler. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Give your employees the power to do their best work and maximize this year's budget when you update to new, powerfully performing Dell Business PCs with Intel Core processors. Dell's dedicated small business advisors mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution for your business. Get up to $300 off select business PCs and servers now till December 17th. Did I mention there's free shipping? Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Americans are spending more than expected this holiday season thanks to income gains, confidence in the economic outlook, a jump in the financial markets, and modest inflation. The Wall Street Journal says the boost includes in-store and online spending at brick-and-mortar retailers such as Walmart and Nordstrom, which had the largest year-over-year November sales increase in 7 years. Home furnishing stores and electronics and appliance stores also saw strong spending numbers despite competition from online shopping websites, which also posted robust gains. Altogether, sales at online retailers, brick-and-mortar stores, and restaurants rose 0.8% in November from the prior month, well above what had been expected, and that was up sharply from a year earlier. Taken altogether, the data suggests the U.S. is on track for robust growth in the fourth quarter. One forecasting firm estimated the economy is growing at a 2.8% annual pace. The Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta estimated a 3.3% growth rate for the final quarter. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Court and House and Senate Republicans face a new round of uncertainty about the fate of their $1.5 trillion tax bill, with the possible defection of Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, amid continuing questions about how the bill will be paid for and how much of the benefits will flow to low and middle income people versus corporations. Rubio says he would vote no on the bill unless it includes a greater expansion of the child tax credit.
If it's higher than $1,100 in a real way, then, well, no, it's a positive response. And if it's not, I would assume they don't need my vote.
Republicans can afford to lose only two of their Senate members if they are to pass the bill along party lines. Bob Corker of Tennessee voted against the Senate tax bill. Other concerns are also looming, including the health of John McCain of Arizona and Thad Corcoran of Mississippi. The FCC has repealed the Obama-era net neutrality, giving internet service providers like Verizon, Comcast, and AT&T a free hand to slow or block websites as they see fit or charge more for faster speeds. In a 3-2 party line vote, the Republican-controlled FCC junked the longtime principle that said all web traffic must be treated equally. Commission member Mignon Claiborne voted against the change.
I dissent because I am among the millions outraged. Outraged because the FCC pulls its own teeth, abdicating responsibility to protect the nation's broadband consumers.
Some lawmakers in Washington are already moving to change the FCC move, while several state attorneys general and public interest groups are moving to sue. Under pressure to resign amid new allegations of harassment, Republican Congressman Blake Fahrenholt of Texas says he will retire after his current term. In a Facebook video, Fahrenholt says allegations of sexual harassment made against him are false, but acknowledged he had angry outbursts and that he failed to treat people in his office with the respect they deserve. Don't know what to get that special someone? How about a free farmhouse? The owners of a four-bedroom farmhouse in Elston, Iowa, have listed the structure on Craigslist for free, but you have to have the means to move it. The owners, who have since built a new home on the property, say they have so far received 25 inquiries.
What if we just like to share the property since these folks have a new home?
I don't think they want you there.
I promise to behave, be neat and clean and respectful. How about we just stay here? Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Think about this as you reach for the vanilla ice cream. The process of making vanilla has become anything but plain. Driven in part by our increasing taste for natural products, the price of vanilla has grown sixfold over the past 3 years. That's wreaking havoc on Madagascar, the Indian Ocean island about 9,000 miles away. That's at the center of approximately a $1.7 billion market for the world's most popular flavor. The Wall Street Journal says vanilla bandits are plundering pods, which at about $600 a kilogram are now more valuable than their weight in silver. Farmers who must hand-pollinate each orchid are responding by harvesting early, reducing the quantity and quality of the vanilla. Some farmers who had thieves steal vanilla from their vines in April have now hired guards or spend their nights sleeping in their fields. Some communities have even created village defense forces. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.